Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1107. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me on this episode, we have Paris here. No Pete this week. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. You know, just this year is going super fast. Now we're in March coming up right now, you know. But we'll see from now to the summer how things are going to be changing, if we're going to see any events. When are we going to start seeing virtual events this year? Because last year was like nonstop, you know. But everything is good. I want us to talk about Outriders, the demo that launched a couple of days ago, and it's been live throughout the weekend. We have a couple of topics here we're going to talk about. And what's up with you, man?
No, everything's good, man. Family's good. Like you said, been Outriders. It's been an interesting gaming week. We can obviously just jump right on into it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. You can post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. When you find us, make sure to subscribe, follow us, even post a review. It'll help us out to get the word out. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, which I want to create another family episode, but it all depends on you, the listener. Here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so first, Paris, I know we want to talk about Outriders in a few minutes here, but first, let's talk about this, man, which we're not surprised about this at all. But E3 2021 live event has been canceled, and this hasn't been officially announced from the ESA. This is from documents from the LA City, and it's out there already. I know I've been checking out a couple of websites that have been talking about it over the weekend about it. And the interesting part is, I know a couple of weeks ago we heard about a leak that the ESA were planning to have a virtual style of E3. And are we going to see support from other publishers to be part of this? Because a lot of the publishers last year did their own virtual event, digital event, like Nintendo Direct and so on like that, right? Xbox did it. PlayStation went well, created a big buzz. Also got support from a lot of the content creators, right? Just over a week ago, I had an interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé, and I asked him about E3 going digital, you know, and he was not impressed by the leak at all. I'm wondering how this is going to affect E3 long term, you know, what's going to happen next year in 2022. Are these publishers going to come back and go to this live event? Are we gonna see only digital events from all these companies and forget about E3? Is the E3 done? We've been talking about this for years, you know. What are the thoughts and what you think about all this, Paris?
Yeah, honestly, when I saw the news about the live event, I go, well, of course. I mean, it's COVID. None of that really surprises me. And I didn't look at the entire article, I'll admit, but the stuff I did see was even saying that, hey, they're looking to, you know, do relicense in 2022 and 2023. So that just tells me ESA isn't canceling E3 100%. They will try to do, if, you know, knock on wood, you know, we get past this pandemic in 2022, to go back to doing live events. Obviously we've not heard anything about, you know, yes or no to the leaked rumors of the digital E3. I would assume that they are still doing that this year. We've talked for years about E3 going away. What's the point of it? Blah, 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 blah. One thing this pandemic has taught me selfishly is I think I don't want it to go away for the simple fact of just the human interaction and, you know, the JW meetups and stuff like that. I think E3, the event, there's really not a need for it. Again, these publishers can do their own thing, be it digital or their own live events. They don't necessarily need E3 to pull that stuff off. So it will be interesting to see how that happens in 2022 and 2023 potentially. But we had already saw before the pandemic, a lot of publishers were pulling out, and the E3 was changing the way that they were doing the live events anyways. And nobody was really impressed with it. So coming post pandemic, when it's now been proven that digital events do work, you know, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what direction E3 goes from a live event standpoint. Hell, forget digital, just the live event stuff once we get out of this pandemic, because I just don't see publishers like Sony's definitely not coming back. Why would they? They've proven they don't need it. Jeff Grubb was on the Windows Central Gaming podcast yesterday, and I was watching it live, and he'd even mentioned on there he had heard that even this year with the digital event, Xbox is not going to be a part of it. Like, they're going to do their own thing. So if they're going to do that, what, again, why? Why would they come back to a live event? And even when E3 was still live events the last couple of years, what was Microsoft doing? Microsoft was across the street anyways. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I think we're reaching the end of E3 for better or worse. It's just going to be fascinating to see how these gaming events take shape, you know, moving forward. I think we're going to see a lot of the big publishers do their own thing. Maybe some of the smaller publishers and indies rally together, and maybe that's where E3 takes their focus. I don't know.
Yeah. Like the last E3 we went to, Microsoft, like you said, was across the street. And I think previous years, they only had like Mixer inside of the convention center, and everything else was at the what was the name of the Microsoft, the Nokia Theater, Microsoft Theater,
yes,
right?
Microsoft
Theater. Everything was there. So besides that, Nintendo also had events outside. They would have the booth inside, right? But like digital events, like Nintendo Direct and all that, they were the ones that started this whole thing. PlayStation, completely gone. You know, I think it's going to be weird to see how this is going to work out in the future after, let's say, it's officially done with E3. I think there is going to be some type of face-to-face interaction events, right? But it's going to be the companies doing their own thing. Like EA has been doing it now with EA Play. That's been working out fine with them. But I'm just wondering, like, what's next, man? What's next after this, man? Because look, I think this whole industry, not only in games, but even movie theaters has been changing. Like, we're seeing a lot of these movies premieres now on like through digital services. You know, there's no theater open like in a couple of major cities, you know? So man, it's going to be weird, man. I mean, after a while, people are going to miss that type of face-to-face interaction at conferences, at events, like PAX. You know, I even restarted recording. You even said, man, today would have been the last day of PAX East, you know? So, yeah, we're not used to this, man, but I'm just wondering what companies are going to do. And honestly, whatever they do is going to change the industry moving forward, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so completely agree.
It's going to be big. And last year we attended a lot of virtual events. You know, recently what companies has been doing now, you will download the actual game and or demo, and you will play through their services. I know last year we were doing a lot of the cloud gaming. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. Depends on your connection. But overall, us as content creators, we did create a lot of content through that, right? While going to all these events, you know. But I do miss attending events, Paris. That's one thing that's driving me crazy, man. It's going to be a year now, like what, in a week or so for me? Because the last event I went to, it was in Orlando, but it was like non-gaming stuff. But right after that, I've been stuck at home ever since, you know what I'm saying? So for you, I think your last event, which we're going to be talking about it here in a few minutes, your last event was
Outriders,
right?
Which was
Outriders.
Just a little over a year ago. It was like middle of February, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how was that event compared to previous events? Because this is the time where we knew about the virus going around now in Europe. It was just like a normal event.
No, it was just a normal event. Nobody was taking COVID serious at that point. So everything was, there were not like there was distancing or mask or, you know, extra extra hand sanitizer. It was all just normal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, when I went to the event in Orlando, that's when we started hearing major events getting shut down and canceled. This was like 3-4 days before the city of New York got shut down. So we were like super close to everything that was going on. And I think there was like a couple cases already in New York right when I went to Orlando. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting year, man, when it comes to that, you know. But here's the thing, Paris, like, and we've been going also to Clubhouse now for like a couple weeks now. And it was really cool hanging out with people in the industry. And we had that conversation about E3 multiple times this month about that, you know. And everybody's been having different feedback about that. Like, some people wanted to see it. Some people are like, hey, I doubt it's going to come back. And some are just like, oh, we're making our own plans, you know. So it looks like people in the industry overall, they don't know what exactly to do. I think they're more prepared this time than compared to last year, because last year they had a whole thing planned for E3 and then everything got shut down. So it seemed like everybody was like in a rush. But I think this time a lot of the publishers are going to be more organized and they already know what to expect this year because they learned a lot of mistakes from last year. You know what I'm saying? Do you agree with that or what?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay. All right. We're going to move forward. That was a very good chance.
All good. What did you want me to say? I mean, I literally just finished saying, hey, I have no idea what's going to happen moving forward. And yeah, you're right. Yeah. Last year was a scramble because of the pandemic. So the digital events we saw last year were rushed, but this year everyone's been pre-planning for it. So I think we're going to see a lot smoother experience with the digital events. We know Xbox, because again, talking about Clubhouse, you know, there it was being discussed in there that they're going to do all their plans are all digital for 2021. So that's their mindset going into this year. And I would assume that's the same mindset for all publishers. Like I said, the more interesting question is going to be 2022, knock on wood, right of this pandemic. What happens then? Do we still see digital events? Do we see a combination of both with digital plus live, which is kind of what I think it's going to happen. I think some of the smaller stuff, they'll just do digital stuff, state of play, Nintendo Direct-esque type events. But, you know, I do think, like you're saying, that human interaction, this pandemic has taught us it is important. So I do think we will see some live events, but just not as many as we may have seen in the past. But I do think we'll still see some things happen.
Yeah, I'm wondering like how a game like Halo Infinite or like a major game, maybe Starfield 2021. I wonder, is that going to be strictly just digital? Or are we going to see, like you were saying, maybe a hands-on event later this year once everything is getting a little bit better and people already got the vaccine? Yeah, I have a lot of questions about that. We'll see. But first, the next topic, Paris, and because we want to talk about Outriders later, but this is a very important news to me. Is EA decided to cancel the Anthem 2.0. Because I know there was a word on the street that BioWare is working on a new Anthem version. Is it going to be a lot better than the previous game and everything? And this got completely canceled, man. I think EA was like, you know what? Let's move on. You know. And here's the thing I was thinking about the other day. And we had this conversation privately too. But I think with the situation that happened with CD Projekt Red, with Cyberpunk, I think that completely changed everything in the industry. A lot of the companies now are like, you know what? We don't want to go through the same thing, hype up a game, and then the game is buggy as hell. The fans are going to get even angrier, you know, and then have a big company like PlayStation to remove your game. You know, the store, like they don't want that mess. They don't want that mess. So we're going to see a lot of games getting delayed or even canceled because of that, you know? So I know you've been involved a lot with Anthem Paris in the past. You've been attending events from EA and got to play the game early and everything, man. Were you surprised about this news or you thought there was going to be at least a second chance of this game coming back?
I wasn't surprised. unfortunately, just for various reasons that this happened. And I just kind of like you're saying with Cyberpunk and everything. To me, this, like the Avengers as an example, these are just lessons learned for the industry. Stop rushing these games. Stop rushing them out. Stop putting them out half-baked. Slow down, especially now in the pandemic. Everyone's working remote. That obviously is slow development of these games. They're not getting the proper QA they need, the polish. These developers simply need more time to deliver the games that we expect them to deliver, right? So because of that, this is what, like you're saying, we are going to start seeing more games slip into 2022, even 2023 as a result. I've just taken the mentality this year to not expect a lot of AAA games. And that should be okay with everyone, considering where we are in the world right now. We all have a back catalog. Embrace it. Play those games versus expecting the new big thing. If something does get delayed, again, this is just me, my opinion. You don't have to listen to me. If something gets delayed, don't go on social media bitching and complaining about it. Just go, okay, I get it. And, you know, when the game comes, it comes. Because we're in unprecedented times when it comes to this. And because of that, we've seen, like I said, again, we just saw what happened with Cyberpunk. It's a damn shame what happened to Anthem, because the potential of Anthem was there. The bones of it was good. You know, even when I was in the whole preview, the feedback, we were telling them at that time, hey, you're missing this, you're missing that. I don't know. In comparison, I don't know how people are going to receive this if you come out at your planned launch date. Maybe you should push it back. Imagine if Anthem got pushed back a year, the place that it could have potentially been in, right? We would still be playing Anthem and talking about it right now versus saying rest in peace. And EA having to literally, because of the failure of Anthem and the failures that they had with Battlefield 5, with the live service stuff, they've completely changed their philosophy with their internal studios. Now they're going to let internal studios do what the hell they want. They're not going to force them all to use the Frostbite engine. They're not going to just try and force in these live services into these games. You know, in other words, take these brilliant ideas that these developers have and let them make the games that they want to, and stop trying to cram in your extra profit margins into it with these live service stuff. So yeah, I think we are seeing a complete changing in the industry as far as, you know, game development goes and the time that they're having. And oh, it's a little buggy, go ahead and put it out anyways, you know, we'll just fix it on the fly mentality. I mean, look at Destiny 2. The Witch Queen has been pushed into 2022. Good. I don't need Bungie rushing that. Take your time with it. You know what I'm saying? Even if we hit a dry spell with Destiny 2, I understand, because of the pandemic and the ambition that Bungie has to try and reshape that game. Take your time. I'm good. The fact that Gran Turismo got pushed into 2022, good. Take your time. Honestly, there's really only two games I'm expecting to come out this year. Ratchet & Clank, because they put a date on it. And you can tell that got delayed, because originally that was a quote-unquote launch window game, and now it's not coming out until June. They needed more time. That's good. Halo Infinite, because they're taking an entire calendar year to work on fixing and polishing and QAing that game. Good. You know what I mean? We're already in the screenshots that came out with the campaign. You can see a difference already in the visuals with that game. Good. You know what I'm saying? I know Sony keeps saying Horizon Forbidden West is coming out this year. Look, if Guerrilla Games has had enough time and they can deliver it this holiday and it's polished and great, good. I'll be excited for it. But if we all of a sudden we get a note saying, hey, we needed more time, we're pushing into Q1 2022, I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? The list goes on and on. We're in unprecedented times with this pandemic. Even if it wasn't a pandemic, they were already pulling this crap anyways. Because look, Anthem came out before the pandemic and you rushed it out, right? So hopefully this will get all these game publishers to kind of just reevaluate, you know, recalibrate, realize the delays that remote working has, and understand just overall philosophy, even once we're out of this pandemic. These games need to come out in the best possible state they can before you give them to us. Because, you know, I said this on Nextcast, we have so many other things to play now. You're wasting my time. You're telling me you don't value my time as a gamer. I'm not going to play your effing game. I'm going to go play something else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's on you to scramble to try and fix it and get me to come back. By then, I may be way off into the new shiny at that point. And that's an opportunity you lost as me as a gamer, and other people are clearly doing this as well. You know what I'm saying? So look, the days of when Destiny came out and all we had was Vault of Glass and we just patiently waited a year until we got the Taken King. Those days are over, man. People are not going to return, you know, No Man's Sky, that stuff's done. There's too many other games to be playing. Then I'm going to waste my time playing a broken game, giving you my money, and then hoping a year from now you fix it and get it to what it should have been in the first place.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that. And another thing I want to bring up, you know, because of the hype of Cyberpunk Paris, and look, we were like that too, all hype about the game, right? There was a lot of games that a lot of people missed out.
Yep.
Because everybody was just thinking about that game that was going to be huge, right? Like, for example, Phoenix Rising. That game is amazing.
And I haven't played it.
Amazing.
And I haven't played it. As an example. You see what I'm saying? As an example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thank God the medium got pushed, you know, to a different date and a couple other games too. But that's the thing, man. Like you said, I don't want to waste my time on something that's just going to be like buggy and a horrible experience. You know, yeah. It's not good, man. It's not good overall. And, you know, we can't let companies do that in the future. We can't just, for them to just release a product. I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, I'm not saying to blame the developer because that is not their fault.
I don't blame the developer at all. It is.
This all leadership. And even this, a lot of people don't know this, man. When Paris went to see Anthem, you had conversation multiple times with the developers and they were, you know, excited and they were understanding about the feedback. But yo, the higher ups, they don't want to hear that. They want to release this for other reasons. You know what I'm trying to say? So, you know, for us, we can't go out there and attack these developers. That's not their fault, man. They're just doing their job. You know what I'm saying? That's something we also have to talk and mention that to the community, man. Because you see people angry and sending these angry tweets and death threats to the developers. Like, oh, come on, man. That's not their fault at all, man. But anyways, like, I agree, man. We have to stop. Letting these companies doing this, man. You know, and like you said, man, I don't want to waste my time playing on something that's not going to be that great. You know, there's a lot of great indie games. Like, look, just a couple of days ago, Little Nightmares 2 came out. Oh my God, fantastic game. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of indie games out there that's super cool. Look, some of them are Game Pass, some of them not, but yo, go check it out, man. Go check it out, you know? All right, so let's talk about this, Paris. Let's talk about our hands-on impressions about Outriders, man. I know the game just came out a couple days ago, the demo, I mean. This is 3 hours long, gameplay-wise. It's the full game, and whatever you do in the game, it will be saved. And once the retail version comes out, you can still continue the campaign through that, right, from there on, depending where you stop playing it. I know you got to play last year, or was it you got to play it, or was it like just video?
No, yeah,
you got to play it? Okay.
Yeah, I played it a year ago. Hmm. Yeah, I have videos. About I have videos up.
Hey, look, I'm just saying. But anyway, so was there any differences from when you got to see the game last year to
can,
now?
Can I cut you off? I'd rather hear what you think of the game because I've played it, I've talked about it, but I have zero idea what you think of the game.
Okay, so for me, the game is fun. It's not the greatest. It's not bad. I just feel the shooting is a little bit off in my opinion. I feel maybe it's because of the weapons that I've got in the game. But another thing that I wasn't really feeling is some parts of the voice acting in the game. It sounded really, really weak, man. I don't know. Like this one part where I have a male character, right? So there's one part that he was like screaming and it sounded cheesy as hell. And it kind of like threw me off. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it at that moment. But once I started playing it, it's cool. I think the shooting needs a little bit of work. There's a part where I thought I was playing Gears of War because of the style, third person, the view, also like the cover. I just feel like the enemy AI is not that great, man. It's not that great at all. I feel like it's the same exact type of experience I've been having with every enemy that I've been having there, man. So, but I haven't tried the matchmaking yet. I've just been playing a single player overall. I know this is cross-play, and I tried to find a match, and I just couldn't find it, maybe because I was too early in the game still. So right now I'm like level four, and I'm going to play again today. I'm going to try to play for the first time multiplayer to see if there's any differences compared to like the single player. But it's okay. It's okay. I see the potential, but the question that I do have is content. Is there's going to be a lot of content for like the single player, right? And also the campaign. And after that, the end game, how's that going to work? Because I don't know anything about the game. I know you probably know more because you got to play it last year and everything and talk to the developers. But I'm wondering, again, I'm just a little bit worried. Like once I'm done with the game, there's not enough content for the end game of that. So that's the only thing I'm a little bit worried about. But I see the potential. I just feel there's certain things in these work in the game. So
yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty much with everything you just said. Circling back to the beginning, yeah, I think the shooting's fine. I think the weapons actually felt pretty good to me. The cover system is a little wonky, so that's going to need some tuning. I agree with the enemy AI. I felt it got better as you climbed up the world tiers versus like that world tier one is just it's just way too easy, and the enemy AI reflects that. I do think it gets a little more challenging as you start to scale up. You know, the demo caps out at level 7 and you get to world tier 5. Yeah, I mean, the story-wise, to me, the story already is very forgettable. Like you said, the voice acting just simply isn't there to engage me. But hell, I still don't know what the Division 2 story is about, right? So I'm not going to penalize it for that, just to be honest with you. I really don't care about that. My concern, or my hope, I should say, is more with the end game. They do have some big end game plans. I just remember that from a year ago. So to me, that's where the game's going to thrive. This whole leveling up to get to the story stuff, that's just so you can get used to the world and understand the mechanics and all that. The real game is the end game, because at its core, this is still a looter shooter, right? People can't fly. The fact that you mentioned Gears, they made Gears of War Judgment. So that's where they get their roots from. So yeah, it definitely has a Gears feel to it. Look, throw in Diablo, Destiny, The Division. That's kind of where you can see the combination of styles coming into this game. I think this world that they created, you know, it like you said, it definitely has potential. There's still some technical bugs to work out. I had been telling you before, I was always thinking they were very confident by giving us this demo versus saying it's a beta. In other words, we're giving you a vertical slice of the final game by letting us basically play this early part of the game unlimited as much as we want, all four characters, you know, enabling crossplay, you know, being very confident in them saying that even the Xbox Series S could do 4K 60, which I found very surprising. We're kind of finding real world results. It's not really doing that. I wasn't expecting it anyway, so I just found it odd that they would confidently come out and say that. Maybe there's still some driver things they need to fix, and you know, obviously when the final game comes out in April. But even me on a 3090, I mean, you know, I'm able to play it at ultra at 4K, you know, high frames, but it's still very choppy in certain scenes, especially when it's going back and forth between a cutscene and real gameplay. So there's still some technical issues to work out, and I'm not going to penalize them for that right now, because again, it's just game's not out. It's not the final game. We'll see when the final game comes out. But yeah, I'm more curious to get the final game and get to the end game and see how much content is there. What's going to keep me coming back every day, every week, every month? You know, what am I chasing weapon wise, gear wise, stuff like that to keep me engaged? What big quote unquote event is there going to be in there? You know, that's going to be super challenging, you know, with, you know, that carrot of loot at the end to make me want to go do it over and over. You know, like I said, crossplay stuff is good. It's interesting. Like you talk about the matchmaking. I've only matchmake with people on PC so far. I haven't played with anyone that I know of that's been on console, because you know you have to do that code and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a demo. So I'll say this: from what I played a year ago to what I'm playing now, it felt pretty much the same. I didn't notice that much. Like, they didn't drastically change anything from that preview I played to what we're playing now. This is the game, for better or worse at this point. Like I said, still some technical things they need to fix up. Like I said, tweak that cover system more. Gonna have to just play it. Like, just the story. The story is the story. I'm just telling you right now. I won't know what's happening, because I found myself already just hitting the B button and just skipping. I was like, I don't need it. I don't need to pay attention to this. Just let me play and shoot stuff. But you know, the abilities felt good. I would say out of the four characters, the trickster kind of seems the one I like the most. But we'll see as we go through. And like I said, final game, play to that end game, and just see how it plays out. I'll just say, hey, you have some big shoes to fill, obviously, with games like Destiny, The Division, you know, that have established themselves, you know, as these looter shooters with this end game content. And it'll be interesting to see where Outriders finds itself once we get to April and where it fits in.
You know, there's one thing I forgot to mention, Paris, is maybe because I'm spoiled now when it comes to this, but I am not a big fan of the cutscenes. The cutscenes is choppy. Like, yeah, not only choppy, but you know how it is. You're playing the game, you're excited, and then it goes fade in.
Agreed.
And then they show the cutscene, fade out. That to me kills the experience. I love that certain games you're playing and it will go to the cutscene and don't go straight to the game, right? I just feel if they could do something like cut down the fade in and fade out, it will seamlessly like, okay, all right, I'm still excited. But every time they show a cutscene, I'm excited, and then I'm like, okay, I'm taking a break, and then I'm come back and go straight to the action, right? I got really frustrated that part while playing that game. And they reminded me a lot of like the old school days, which it used to be like that everywhere back then, where you're playing and then the cutscene shows like that, right? So it reminded me of that, right? But when we play games like Destiny, The Division, or even other single player games, we don't get to see that type of thing. You know, there is no black screen when it's changing from like gameplay to cutscenes, you know. So yeah, I just wish they could fix that a little bit better. I forgot to mention that.
I'm agreeing with you on that. Again, that's why I'm like, I'm just skip it. I don't need to pay attention to this kind of thing.
It really
breaks the immersion, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to skip it because, hey, man, I know it took some time to write this story, so I just want to learn more. But after a while, I just didn't care. I was just like, okay, I just want to go straight to the game.
Yeah.
You know, so, I agree. Totally agree. totally messed me up, man, you know. But, yeah, I see the potential. It's not a perfect game, but I could see it, man. I could see the potential with this.
Yeah, and to be clear, when I'm in actual firefights and playing, I'm having fun. It's not like the game isn't fun. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm more concerned with the technical stuff. Like they need to get that stuff fixed. And going back to what I was saying before, not that it's completely taking me out of anything, but you know, you see some things they need to clean up by the time you get to the final game. Mm-hmm. And then we won't know the end game until we get there. But I just will say that people can fly. I just love the ambition that they've had with this game and you know, and the confidence that they've been showing with it. They're doing, like I said, with the crossplay stuff, just some of the things they're doing on the PC side as far as features go. These are quality of life things that, quite honestly, I expect, you know, for all games moving forward. This is just how it simply should be. For any kind of co-op multiplayer connected game, crossplay mm-hmm. should just be the standard at this point. The PC features that they're having in there, they should just be standard at this point for all games. So the fact that they're doing that is a good thing. And trust me, I'm definitely rooting for this game to be great, because I want an alternative to playing Destiny or The Division, and this looks like it definitely can be it. New world, new characters. I'm in. I want it to be good. So April, I'll be there day one playing it, and then we'll obviously just judge it at that point.
Yeah, same here. And I know you brought up about crossplay should be a standard thing now moving forward, right? And I agree with you. But here's the thing, that the issues I've been having with lately, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, the zombies mode, which it came out, a new version came out called Outbreak, which is freaking amazing. It's one of the best zombie modes I've ever seen, ever, right? But the issue I've been having lately is like, look, Rhee, she plays a game on the PlayStation 5, right? I have the Xbox Series X. Khalif, he's been playing it sometimes from the PC or a PlayStation 4 version. Andrea, from Andrea Renee from What's Good Game, she also been playing with us. So every time we play, for some reason, the voice chat, like I can't hear one person, another person can hear me. It's like it's always off. But or when we start playing a game, There's like a major lag issue. Like that's the part that I'm a little bit frustrated about crossplay players. Like, I just wish that companies will make that experience a little bit better than just, oh yeah, we just have crossplay. And another thing too, and I know you mentioned this multiple times from other games, that I will also would love to see cross progression. So let's say we're playing a game like Outriders, you know, I'm playing it on the Xbox. Can I go and take that, all the stuff that I collected from that game, and play it on the PlayStation version? Are we going to see that? You know, so it's cool that we have crossplay. But what is the point if I go to another game and I'm using my account and I can't bring all the stuff that I unlocked from another game? You know, so that's the thing that I think companies need to also start working out on that too. So.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Gamertag Radio listeners, before we continue with the show, let's talk about our sponsor, Oregon State University eCampus. Gamers know how rewarding it is to begin a quest and see through till the end. Now, Oregon State University eCampus wants to help you complete another journey as you pursue your degree online. Oregon State eCampus is nationally ranked provider of online education, delivering over 80 programs at a distance. You can advance your career by earning a degree in fields like computer science, business, and natural resources. For the past couple of weeks, I've been mentioning a lot about our sponsor, and a lot of the listeners that we have always been contacting me about learning how to do digital media, content creation, video editing, all that stuff, right? And I was giving tips, but honestly speaking, this is to me the best way for you, the listener, to learn about that. And plus, there's 80 programs. And right now you can go to the website and find out all the online courses that they have there, man. Plus, Oregon State is consistently ranked in the nation's top 10 by U.S. News and World Report. With eCampus students in all 50 states and more than 50 countries, you will learn alongside a worldwide network of classmates. So this is all designed to help you get where you're going faster, all right? So all you have to do is do this. Go right now to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR to find the top-ranked program that matches your interest. GTR listeners, one more time, go to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to go now to State of Play. Because look, Paris, I haven't watched the State of Play at all. I've been busy and stuff, but I know there was people that were frustrated about State of Play. I think they were waiting for like a major AAA announcement. And look, I'll tell you this. A lot of people are, I think it's a COVID thing, a pandemic thing, I don't know. But people were even mad about Nintendo Direct too, you know, overall. So I think they're expecting more from all these gaming publishers. You know, I think this early of the year, I think that was great that PlayStation made a couple announcements early, right? But yo, we have a long way to go. I don't know why people are like so mad that there was like no major announcement about certain games, you know. But overall, the feedback that I've been hearing from people, yo, there was some games, not AAA, but AA, that sounded it was going to be really good, man, you know. So you got to watch the whole thing, Paris, or no?
Yeah, I watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there any games that stood out to you from the state?
Sifu. I think that was the big one. You know, the developer Slow Clap, you know, that did Absolver. This is, I believe Devolver Digital is publishing it, but that looks good. Like a fighting game with the deep level mechanics of fighting through it. It looks pretty good to me. What was the other one? Showing Kena again, that looked good. Returnal looked good. Obviously, I know everyone went crazy over the Final Fantasy remake part two stuff. You know, Crash Bandicoot 4, that, you know, stuff they showed off with that as well. I mean, here's my thing with this whole State of Play. What were people expecting? It was like, I was even saying it, you know, leading up to it, set expectations accordingly. Dude, it's like the end of February. They're not going to show you anything amazing. I said, maybe I hope, you know, we see Returnal and they show some more stuff for Ratchet and Clank. That was as high as my expectations went. I was not expecting any God of War or Horizon or any of that stuff. I knew this was going to be more AA things, maybe some third party partnerships that they got. And that was about it. And yeah, we didn't get Ratchet and Clank. We did get Returnal, and the rest of it was pretty much on par with what I expected. They're not going to show you the major things now. They're going to wait until summertime to really start unveiling more of that stuff. And I think people need to realize that. Like you mentioned in Nintendo Direct, I think expectations were higher for that because it had just been so long since they had done one. We kind of thought, oh man, Zelda stuff, oh, they're really going to blow it out. And it wound up being okay. The Zelda stuff they showed wasn't what I wanted it to be, but you know, there were people that were excited about it. And I don't know. I think we're all at home because of this pandemic, and the rumors start going and people start, you know, expectations, you know, go out of control, and they expect way too much from these things. But I thought State of Play was fine. Like it was funny. God, what was that one game? Now I'm trying to remember what that one game was. There was one game they showed that I thought looked interesting. Oh, it was Solar Ash. That's what it was. Solar Ash. And I was like, hey, this looks great. And people jumped down my throat on Twitter. Are you kidding? It sucks. I'm like, whoa. Okay. Okay. Jesus. I didn't realize I wasn't allowed to have my own personal opinion on what interests me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. So that's corny.
You know, so it's just funny because people were upset that they weren't seeing some big quadruple A game surprise thing from whatever. I think I had said at one point, what were you expecting? Kabuki Warriors 6 to be shown? It's like, come on. It was fine. Yeah, I think people on social media like to complain about this stuff. They want the world immediately versus showing some ounce of patience. And that's all this is. Have some patience. Those big games are going to come when the time is right. And look, middle of February just simply is not the time.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree. And let me tell you, it's going to be the same exact thing once we get to see Xbox doing their own digital event, right? It's going to be the same thing. People are going to be mad and everything. But I have to bring this up, Paris, because I think you were very vocal about this last year. I'm not surprised they're bringing Days Gone to the PC, you know, and there's going to be other games that came out for the PlayStation 4 that's also coming out for the PC. And here's the thing. I think that's a great thing, man. Sony's going to get a new crowd that has never played a PlayStation game, period. And that's more income for the company. It's not enough for Sony to depend on just the games that's only going to be available on like the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, and that's it. No, they need to do more. Look, the industry has been changing. It's been working out for Xbox for years, releasing games both console and PC. What is the bad thing about releasing a game from console to PC? I think that's great. There's going to be people, not the majority, but some that will buy a game, like let's say Horizon or Days Gone, or let's just say God of War in the future, right, for the PC. They like the game so much, and that might influence them to buy the console because of that. I think that's smart. I don't see anything wrong with that, and I'm just curious, like, why are people so mad about that, Paris? I just don't get the whole thing. I think that's a great thing for gaming overall. I think that's awesome more people to get the experience out. You know?
Of course it is. You know, I have that infamous photo when the Horizon Zero Dawn to PC rumor first started. And this was December 2019. And I had tweeted about it. I was excited about it. And some crazy Sony fanboy Yahoo was like, you're not going to get it, beggar, as if I'm this PC guy. How dare I want to play a PlayStation game? You should play it on PlayStation. So then I took the photo of my copy of Horizon Zero Dawn for PS4 and had it, you know, against the tweet, and, you know, people obviously get a kick out of that. But that's the whole point. It's you're exposing these games to an audience that may have never played it before. And it's not like these PlayStation games are day and date. Horizon Zero Dawn didn't come to, what, 3 years after it came out? That's fine. Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. It's basically a console exclusive for a certain extended period of time, and then they just ported it over the PC. And look at what Jim Ryan said. He said the economics of game development is a part of this, along with exposing it to a wider audience. In other words, we can make more money to cover our development costs by putting it on PC. And mm-hmm. Horizon Zero Dawn going on PC was a hit. It got a lot of traction. You've even seen on the Xbox side, forget the Game Pass stuff, look on Steam. Look at those Xbox games on Steam, and they're always at the top of the charts. Like Sea of Thieves has been a big one for them as an example, yep. right? Mm-hmm. They're making money. So PlayStation is in the business of making money. Of course they're going to bring more of these games to PC. No one gets hurt in this scenario. It's a win-win across the board. And I just think fans need to stop this gatekeeping crap, because that's what it is. It is one of the most juvenile, immature things that I see online because look, these grown-ass people, these aren't children. I get if my son was saying this nonsense, which I'd pop him upside the head if he was, but these are grown adults that feel this weird, I have to protect sword and shield, you know, the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever, that only stuff can be on there. Who cares? If you're getting the game and you get to play it where you want to play it and you enjoy it, that's all that should matter. It's all that should matter. All this gatekeeping nonsense, people upset. Like, bruh, I've seen some of the tweets this week after the Jim Ryan article, just upset. How dare he want to bring more games to the PC? He's a traitor, and all this nonsense that I see. It's like people have lost their effing minds. Maybe the pandemic has just been too long. I don't get it. It's a good thing. This is a good thing. If this upsets you, that is a you problem, because this is a good thing. Because I'll tell you what, right now, you know, let some of these other PlayStation games come to PC. And again, it can take the full advantage of the PC as far as frame rate goes and ray tracing and just all this stuff. I'm probably going to go buy it over there too. But that's just me. Call me crazy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And other people are going to do that too. And again, the basic economics of this is you put a game like Horizon Zero Dawn on PC. You have PC guy who has never bought a PlayStation, not never, plays Horizon Zero Dawn, goes, oh my God, this is great. I love it. Oh, wait, the sequel's coming out right now? Oh, man, maybe I should go get a PlayStation 5 and go play it, because I don't want to wait another 3 years. We've already seen this start to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, they're going to bring more there. I'll tell you right now, Spider-Man goes to the PC, I'm getting it. Want to know why? Swinging through that city at 120 frames per second would be amazing. I would love to do that. So, there you go. No one gets hurt in this scenario, so it's silly to gatekeep.
Now I'm going to play devil's advocate, Paris.
Oh boy,
I have to do this. I have to do this. But people are going to be like, all right, Paris, if you say this true, then why Bethesda doesn't release all these games for other consoles then? It would be great for the community. It would be great for Xbox to make more money. What do you have to say about that? Because people are going to bring that up. People are definitely
Bring that up, because, you know, and I talked about this for like literally 45 minutes on XCast, so I'm not trying to do it again here. But the simple terms is this. It's a business. Exclusives are a part of business. I 100% get that. You will see cases of exclusive games that are exclusive. Now, in the case of PlayStation, they're not putting Uncharted on Xbox. They're putting it on PC. That's kind of the neutral platform in this scenario. Same as with Bethesda. Again, right or wrong, who knows? We'll see when they finally announce it. If Xbox makes those Bethesda games exclusive, they're going to, quote unquote, make them console exclusive. In other words, we're not going to put them on our competition on the console, but we will put them on PC. We will put them on mobile. We will put them on smart TVs via xCloud. It's two different things. And I'll say it again, because clearly me saying this doesn't seem to translate, because people hear what the hell they want to hear. I don't favor exclusive. I wish every game was on every platform. But I also see the point of exclusives from a business standpoint. So, again, not trying to litigate this nonsense again. You don't spend $7.5 billion to keep stuff the same. Something's going to change. That's just a fact. Something's changing, because you don't spend that amount of money to acquire an entire publisher and keep things the same. So people can say, I get it. I would love all games to be on all platforms too. I would love Halo to be on PlayStation. I would love Mario to be on Xbox. It's not going to happen. That's just the business of it. Mm-hmm. So what PlayStation doing isn't necessarily changing their philosophy. They're just putting it on the neutral platform versus putting it on their competition's platform. Now, you could argue Xbox Windows 10 is the same, but you get my point. So, yeah, while I would love to see Starfield and Elder Scrolls and all that be on the PlayStation, I just don't think it's going to happen for business. Yeah. It's a business decision.
Yeah, and I have to bring this up very quick, because we're going to go to fan mail. But, you know, for example, the MLB The Show, that is going to be on Xbox also. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, it wasn't Sony's decision. They would have kept that exclusive. Yep. That's a licensing issue, man. MLB was like, look, we want people to learn more about our league. We need a bigger audience. You have to make this exclusive. If not, you're gonna lose that exclusive deal that they have with Sony, and it pressured Sony to do that. They had to also release a version for Xbox last year or 2 years ago when we heard the announcement that this was happening. There was also gonna be a Switch version. I don't know what happened that it was never announced after that. They kept it under wraps, but it was announced originally it was gonna be all consoles, but I think it's only for Xbox this time. Maybe in the future we'll see a Switch version. But hey, again, and we've seen this from other publishers that have been saying this, especially Phil been mentioning this too. It's a case by case basis, right? It all depends. If it makes sense business wise, they're gonna go with that. And if it doesn't, it will stay exclusive. So for Sony releasing all these games for PC, it makes sense for them. Business wise, it's more money for them. That's even good for you, the gamer that love all these exclusives. Now Sony's gonna have more money budget wise to invest to all these developers to make these games, not only for the PlayStation console, but also for PC. So it's a win-win. So a win-win for everybody, man. So
agreed.
All right, so we're gonna go to fan mail. Remember, we want more questions from the listeners. More questions. Please send us questions, voicemail, everything, and we'll play here on the podcast. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So the first email to have here. I'm not going to play the voicemail yet. The first email, this is from Rudy, all the way from Spain. He goes, hey, much love and support to you guys at Gamertag Radio. Special shout out to Danny. I'm from the Bronx. And I got to say something really special to hear Danny and Reggie connect and get a good convo about the industry and the histories with games. Glad you guys stuck with it and finally got the interview. I happened to move to Madrid, Spain 5 years ago for personal reasons and decided to take the opportunity to find the job in the industry. And after a bunch of tries and failures, found my way into games production. It's hearing the podcast stories like both Danny's and Reggie's and many more about the dedication, circumstance, and also a passion for games that gave me the courage to stay focused and motivated to find my way. Rudy, that's good, man. Congratulations, man. But now here's the question from Rudy. He's like, what are your thoughts on Quest in Game Pass Ultimate? And how do you think these features will evolve over time? Why is this not more widely talked about, like in media and just content creation overall? For me, I think this is a more of like for like a hardcore audience that really want to achieve to unlock all these quests, similar to like achievements. But also, the good thing about Quest, in my opinion, is that every time you unlock it while you're playing all these Game Pass games, you could use that to use those points to either donate to a organization like a charity. You could use that to enter to different giveaways. Like the other day, I collected a lot of points throughout the year, and I put my points and I submitted to for a raffle for PC, right, or for Game Pass. A year, 12-month subscription, like that type of thing that I do. So I wish people talked about it more, but I think more of this is more like the community is going to be talking about it just overall, like through social media and within friends and everything like that. But I think it's really cool. I think Quest and Game Pass is something that is going to make me continue to find ways to unlock. And the thing is, Xbox are always changing the quests. They have like daily quests, they have weekly quests, and it feels fresh all the time, you know? So I find quests a little bit better than achievements and trophies, in my opinion. But, Paris, you want to say anything about quests in Game Pass? Like, I think in SCAS, they talk about that too, right, Mike? Always bring that up?
Yeah. Mike brings it up on there. And, yeah, I agree. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. It basically gives you something to chase, you know, daily, weekly with the various quests through Game Pass. And then, obviously, you're going to get the rewards that come from it. And even if you don't cash in, all the reward points that you get, you can donate them to charity as well. So it's it's a good thing. This is a good thing. It's not hurting anybody. Excuse me. And yeah, I think it's something that's not talked about enough. And like, it's funny, like you bring up XCast, like Gary really looks like, he's like, I always get that annoying notification. So you're telling me I should pay attention to it? Yes, pay attention to it.
Yes. Yeah. I think in a way, I feel that Xbox should have a better way to explain it. Because people, what is like, what is this game? A quest? What is this? A lot of people, I think that this is just achievements, and they're not looking at like the points that they've been unlocking. And I think they definitely need a better way to promote that. You know, so. Yeah. All right. So we have a voicemail. I'm going to play it here. Paris, have you heard this voicemail or no?
I have not, but I'm going to listen to it right now.
Okay. Here it goes. And 3, 2, 1.
Hey, guys. It's Michael, a.k.a. Team Medic from Discord. What's going on, guys? I just want to start by saying, Danny, great interview with Reggie. Amazing, inspiring. If anyone hasn't listened to it yet or watched it, please go ahead and do that. Quick question. So, I want to start by saying I've been playing Game Pass, and I've been playing Final Fantasy XII, a PS2 game, on my Xbox Series X. With all that power and graphics and everything the Series X could do, I'm like amazed that I'm playing such an old title. So, my question to you guys, what games have you been playing on the current gen system that you did not expect to be playing, you know, considering all the graphics and power that the system can do? What kind of older games have you been finding yourself playing? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
Yeah, well, thank you for the voicemail. For me, I've been playing a lot of the Yakuza series. Those are really old. They came out for PlayStation, but it runs good. So it's faster loading everything. And also I downloaded Oblivion. I've been playing that. Is it Oblivion? No. Was it Fallout? One of the Elder Scrolls games. I just can't remember exactly. But those also play pretty good too. And it's smooth, everything. So I know in the past I downloaded Ninja Gaiden, the first Ninja Gaiden that came out for the original Xbox. And I downloaded also Ninja Gaiden 2. It runs smooth, man. It's good. I know, Paris, you had an interview with Jason Ronald a couple of days ago about FPS boost. Is that also works for games like that old, or is it more like the recent like Xbox One and on?
It eventually will. Jason was saying, because right now they're only doing the four games that they're testing it with, but the focus right now are on the Xbox One games, and then they'll scale it down to 360 and even original Xbox.
Yeah,
you know, case by case basis.
Yeah, I also downloaded Lost Odyssey, which is an awesome classic RPG that came out for the Xbox 360. It runs smooth. It looks good. It's the loading time is a lot faster too. So, yeah, it's cool to go back and play those games, because look, there's a lot of games that people probably missed out during the 360, maybe because they had either a Nintendo console or a PlayStation console. You know, so. It's good to go back, and especially now that all these games are going to get delayed, hey, why not? Go to the back catalog and download these games that you probably missed out from back in the days, man. You know, and plus, it looks good. Just the experience overall is going to be a lot better than back then, you know? So, what about you, Paris? Is there any games that you've been playing this old to and looks
good too? Yeah, I mean, the one I talk about all the time is my kids play Skate 3 all the time on, you know, via the Game Pass, you know, the EA Play thing. So that's probably the most played one in my house. And I've been slowly dabbling in Arkham Knight via that same premise as well. And to me, you wouldn't even know it was a game that was from 10 years ago. You would think that they just came out now. That's how good it looks, especially with all the auto HDR stuff that they have going on. So yeah, The backwards compatibility initiative that Xbox has had, that when did they start that? Was it 2015, 2016 up in there? Somewhere?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But just to see where it started, and they've just continually been curating it and refining it and just updating it. Like you said, it's FPS boost is the next iteration of it. I mean, it's been fantastic. I mean, they've definitely set the bar with the way they've handled backwards compatibility. And it's really been almost like a games preservation movement, because it's allowing us to revisit games from a decade ago, 15 years ago, hell, even 20 years ago, and experience them now you know, versus having to try and dig out some old console or whatever and plug it in and hope it works versus, yep, it's right there on your system, download it, play it, and you're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a lot easier now to find those games. I mean, back then, Patterson, when we were growing up, it was a lot harder to find those old games that came out in the 80s. Like, it's not even, there's some games that still to this day hasn't been out. Like, they only came out once during back in the days, and that's it. You know, so, you know, I love that more companies are releasing games that have been releasing in the past, man. It's part of history. It's part of history, and we should go and play these games, man. You know, I think it's important. So, Paris, you want to read the second
email? I was thinking we should skip this. I don't know what we're going to say. I mean, summarize this. Basically, someone's asking our opinion about prices of digital games and physical games. And, you know, this person's from Europe, things like that. It's like, I can't answer it. I really don't know what I'm going to say other than that's the business model right now. And I don't know how it's going to change, when it's going to change. The only thing I can suggest to anyone that's not happy with is vote with your wallet. Don't buy the games. And if you think the pricing structure is unfair, physical versus digital. But there's it's just the reality of what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I know we had an email months ago where somebody was saying that for them, because they live in Brazil, taxes over there is crazy. When it's like when someone is buying a game from us that wasn't made in Brazil,
right?
And it's international, taxes is insane.
Yeah.
But a service like Game Pass works for them because it's cheaper for them. They don't have to go and buy a game that costs 70 euros or even 100 euros. They're saving a lot more money. So it depends on – it depends, man. Not everybody has this opportunity to do that. But, hey, man, if you could get either PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game Pass or even Nintendo Online, I mean, they will give free games. I think that's, like, the cheapest way, in my opinion, you know. So if you could figure out something to do like that, it will work out for you. But – yeah, it depends on the country. It depends on business model everywhere.
Man. Yeah, I would say this to the person sending the email. Thank you for doing that first and foremost. But I would just simply say this: if we ever get the opportunity to talk to someone, you know, in an executive position that has more insight to something like that, it'd be a fair question to ask to try and understand, you know, the logistics of it, the business model surrounding it, why it's that way. But unfortunately, from our position, I mean, we're just like you. I don't know. I don't know. There's just no way I can answer that question.
Yeah. And we don't want to answer the wrong way.
Exactly.
We're like idiots.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I get it. But shout out to Mavu. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
From Sweden. Shout out to him, man. Thanks for the email, man. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us. Also post your thoughts about each episode on social media. We would love to get your feedback about it, man. Also, if you'd like to be part of our FAMO episode or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you for listening. Paris, anything else before we wrap this up, man?
No.
This episode.
Nope. Good episode. Thank you for everyone for tuning in live, and obviously everyone that's listened to the podcast. We obviously appreciate that. Appreciate all the support and love over the years. And yeah, man, it's gonna be an interesting few weeks. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. Very interesting. We'll see. Oh, but everybody, make sure to go to Discord, discord.gg/GTR. Shout out to Arctic, Tanya, Lady Luck, aka Mandy, for helping us out with Discord, you know. But yeah, be vocal over there. We love to, you know, continue the conversation, not only here in the chat, but let's go to Discord. Super important, man. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.